Well, last week we kicked off our year and we started a new conversation called Healthy. And as we did so, we kind of introduced this dream that we're pursuing as we look at 2011. And we looked at Psalm chapter 1 and we looked at how God throughout his word is introducing us to this idea that there's something greater that's possible in life. And we looked at this picture that he gives us in Psalm chapter 1 of this tree that's planted by streams of living water, that's planted in this place where it's constantly drawing its nourishment from this river. And we talked about this tree and how this tree can walk through all these different circumstances, and yet it continues to thrive. And we talked about this dream that in your life and in my life, it could be possible for us to move through 2011, and it really doesn't matter what the circumstances are, we can thrive. And we talked about how God kind of introduces us to this idea that this isn't just about eternal life, that this is about life and how we can experience life to the fullest. And throughout this conversation, we're going to be walking through four different resolutions that I believe will radically transform your year in 2011. Four different resolutions that I believe move us a couple steps closer to realizing this dream in our lives where we begin to experience being that tree. And last week as we started, we kind of introduced this idea of reading through God's word, because in Psalms chapter 1, it talks about this tree, and the characteristic that it gives of this tree is that it's constantly drawing nutrients from this river. And the way that it describes that is that this person meditates on God's law both day and night. And so as we began this year, our first resolution, our first challenge was to begin reading through God's word consistently throughout this next year and to get to the end of 2011 and have at least 100 people who have been committed to this throughout the year. Will we be perfect? No. But 100 people who have consistently strove to take in as much as they possibly could. And I'll be honest, when I walked out of here last week, I had no idea what would happen. And we had created a blog, and every day we post on that blog the different readings for that day, and we're all kind of working through that together. You could subscribe to that via email or RSS, and our goal was to have 100 people, and right now I think we're right around 123 that we can completely measure, which is awesome. I mean, we're really, really excited about that. But again, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish, right? And so we introduced that last week, and it was awesome to see how you guys jumped on board with that. And we're like, okay, we want this to happen in our lives. We want this to be true of us. And in this conversation, we're going to continue to walk through those resolutions and continue to look at, okay, God, how does this become a reality for me? How does this become real in my life? And it's interesting because as we walk through these resolutions are going to have to do with four completely different aspects of our life. Because like I said last week, I don't believe that Jesus Christ came and gave his life just so that we could have eternal life. I believe he came and gave his life so that we could have life eternally, presently, in every area of our life. And this is what God is trying to communicate to us over and over again in his word, which is why when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he begins to talk about, and one of the verses that you'll hear repeated over and over and over again in scripture is this idea of how we love the Lord our God. And Jesus says, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see what he did there? As he's communicating this to them, he says, listen, I want you to understand something about this relationship that you have with your God. It's about all of who you are. And so as he breaks that down, you see him bring into this conversation every aspect of your life. Love the Lord with all your heart, your emotion, your soul, your spirit, your mind, your intellect, your strength, your physical body, your who you are as a person. And last week as we began this, we talked about intellect. And so we talked about taking this resolution of constantly taking in God's word. And as Romans 12 says, transforming our minds as we're over and over again reading his truth and allowing it to change the way that we think and the lies that we believe and the truth that we believe. And today, as we move forward, we're going to take kind of an interesting detour because we're going to jump off of that intellectual idea and we're going to move on to the physical. And it's kind of a strange thing to talk about inside of church because it's not often that you come to church to talk about your physical well-being and how you're going to take care of your physical body in this next year. And some of you are really excited right now because you're like gym people, right? You're like, man, I'm going to feel great when I walk out of here today. I hate to disappoint you. This isn't about that. That's definitely valuable. As a matter of fact, as you read through God's word, you find over and over again that he talks to us about physical exercise. As Paul is writing to Timothy, he talks to Timothy about how important physical exercise is and how important spiritual exercise is. It's something that's very important for God. As a matter of fact, as you read through, for those of you who are on this Bible reading plan, in a couple weeks, you're going to hit a book called Leviticus, and you're going to wonder why in the world it's in there. And you're going to think about giving up on your Bible reading plan, right? This entire book is this structure that God is laying out for the nation of Israel about how to be able to take care of themselves in all these different aspects of their life. And a huge part of Leviticus is how to take care of themselves physically. So it has to do with what they eat and how they prepare their food and all these things that you and I are like, well, yeah, I know that, but you have to understand something. The nation of Israel was a slave nation. They had been told what to do ever since they were born, for generation and generation. And so God's giving them this structure, and part of what God is instructing them on is how to take care of their bodies. It's really important to God. And today, as we look at, okay, how do we become that tree? I want us to look at the physical aspect of who we are. Because I believe that it's a huge part of how we love God. Jesus, as he communicates that to you, and he says, with all your strength, he's telling you that this isn't just about spiritual. This isn't just about your spiritual life. This is about all of you. Your whole being. But it doesn't have to do with a gym. For others of you, you think, man, this is going to be great because you're like really healthy and you eat all those things that no one else wants to eat. And you invite, you're sitting at the lunch table at work and you're like, you want to try my rye, whatever, for some reason they have really long names, right? And everyone around you is like, I don't understand why you eat that stuff, right? That's not what it's about either. As a matter of fact, I think when it comes to health, for most of us, we do a pretty good job with exercise. And for most of us, we do a pretty good job when it comes to what we eat, but we do a really bad job when it comes to one area of our lives physically. And our passage for the day, the passage where we find God explaining this to us, is probably one of the most famous passages of all time. I would argue that probably is the most famous passage of all time. Some might say John 3:16 is up there, but the passage that we're going to talk about is going to be famous in both the Christian and the Jewish tradition, so I'm pretty sure that this one probably takes the cake. You guys have heard it probably a million times, and it's something that they've made movies about. You're going to recognize it almost immediately when I begin reading it to you. It's found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. It starts in verse 2, and the passage will be up here behind me. It says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. And God is beginning to lay out for the nation of Israel the structure that he wants them to live in, the structure that's going to keep them safe, the structure that's going to help them move forward. And so he starts off in verse 3. It says, you must not have any other gods before me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for a thousand generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Verse 8, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. You recognize the passage yet? He continues, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long and full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Recognize it? It's the Ten Commandments. Some of you are like, man, I really should have known that. And the interesting thing is that in the middle of this structure that God is laying out for his people, he chooses 10 commandments. There are 10 things that he wants to begin this whole thing with. And right in the middle of it, we find one that has everything to do with our physical well-being. It's the fifth commandment. Let me read it to you again. It starts in verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. In case you're like reading that and it's hard for you to understand, let me break it down to you really simply what God's saying to you today. You need a day off. You need to take a day off. Now, some of you are here for the first time. I mean, this is the first time you've even walked into a church in years, maybe the first time you've ever walked into a church. And you hear this and you're like, this is the best news I've ever heard. But the crazy thing is, and a lot of us know this, right? A lot of us have heard this passage before. I don't think for many of you, as I read that it was shocking. But I bet there's less than a handful of us in this room that take that kind of day off. Less than a handful. I would bet. And those of you who are here for the first time, that probably blows your mind. Because you're like, wait a second. Their God tells them to take a day off and they have a hard time with this? And the truth is, when we think about it, it really doesn't make that much sense. I mean, we make a big deal out of a lot of things. We make a really big deal out of making sure that a lot of things are a part of our life. And when we look at, okay, am I following Jesus Christ? Am I following God? There are a lot of different things that we look at. But we don't often look at this. But for God, this is a big deal. And there's usually two different ways that you can tell how important something is to someone. The first is the order in which they communicate things to you, right? So when you sit down on the weekend and you and your wife are trying to figure out what you're going to do this weekend and you lay out your list looks like watch football, fix the faucet, pick up the things from the store. Her list looks like fix the faucet, pick up the things from the store, watch football. And you realize the second those lists get made out that there's going to be problems. Why? Because there's an order of priority here. And it blows my mind. And the more I studied through this, the more I read about this, the more I looked at how God was communicating this and how he talks about it later in his word, it blew my mind how important this was to God. I mean, this is the fifth thing that he gives them. It comes before don't kill anyone. Don't lie. Don't cheat on your husband or wife. It comes before all those. It's really, really important. The second thing, that the second way that you know how important something is to someone is how they respond when it happens or doesn't happen. And so when you make out those lists and you go into the weekend and your wife comes home and the faucet isn't working and you're watching football, her response is going to tell you a little bit about the situation. Right? Yesterday, my family celebrated Christmas. I know for some of you that's just really weird. It was really weird for us too. Because it's like February already. But the whole house was decorated and everything. And it was pretty cool. And my dad opened up this one present. And for my dad, his grandkids are just ridiculously important to him. And my sister had gone out the morning before and had gotten Caden, which is my little guy, and my sister's little guys, and gotten them all together and bought them Michigan Wolverine football jerseys and cheerleading outfits. Some of you are like, man, this guy's obsessed with football. It's all in the family. And she'd taken them out and gotten these pictures taken of all of them together. And there were some crazy good gifts that were given yesterday. But there was only one that was opened where tears began to be a part of the equation. And it was that one. And you realized what's really important. And based on the way that people react to things, you realize what's really important. Based on the way that your boss responds to you when you do or don't get things done at work, you realize what's important. And the same thing is true with God. And so not only do we see that this is the fifth thing that he gives them, but as you continue to look at the nation of Israel and the way that they live their lives, and you look at them as they begin to walk away from God, there are a few things that God gets really, really upset about. There are actually three things that God talks about more than anything else as they walk away from him. Three things that he gets the most angry about. The first one is the fact that they're worshiping worthless idols. I mean, that just blows him away that they would trade him for these worthless idols that can't do anything for them. The second is the fact that they don't take care of the poor and the widows and the fatherless. It just makes him mad. The third thing, they don't take a Sabbath. And over and over and over again, you hear him say things like he says in this passage in Ezekiel chapter 23:38. It says, furthermore, they have defiled my temple. Now we understand that that's a big deal, right? And violated my Sabbath day. This is a really, really big deal to God. And there are a lot of different reasons for that. And throughout this series, as we walk through these resolutions, it's interesting because three of the four resolutions are just really good ideas, kind of principles that God gives us to live by. Things that we draw out of his word as we read through it. Things like reading your Bible every day. Maybe you didn't realize this, but God doesn't actually tell you that you need to read your Bible every day. It talks about the benefits of taking him in and meditating on his law day and night like we talked about last week. But he doesn't actually come out and say, this is what you need to do. You have to do this. And as we work through these resolutions, that's true of the two that we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks. But this is a little bit different because this isn't just like a good idea. The truth is, if you go into this next week and you struggle with reading your Bible, like you really should, and you need to get on board with that, I'm telling you, it will change your life. But if we go into this next week and we don't take a Sabbath, we're living in sin. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. There is no, well, wait, well, maybe, but no. That's the truth. And it may not feel really good for us to hear that, but that's the truth. And as we look at this dream that God has for us, that we could be this tree that's planted by streams of water, it means we're going to have to say yes to Him. It means we're going to have to follow. And I'm telling you, this is a big part of that. You need to take a day off. Now, I'll be honest with you. I knew going into this conversation that this was going to be tense. I didn't know it was going to be this tense. You guys are really tense. All right? You need to relax a little bit. All right, so what I want you to do, I want you to turn to the person on your left, and I just want you to let them know you need to take a day off. Okay? Now turn to the person on the other side of you and tell them the same thing. You need to take a day off. Okay. You were getting way too intense there for a second. I got to be honest. You're just way, way too intense. And it is an intense thing. And it's a serious thing. But it's a life-giving thing. And as God steps into the life of the nation of Israel here in Exodus chapter 20, and as they're coming out of slavery and He's establishing this structure for them, there are some key things that He wants them to understand about this life that He has in store for them. And there are some key things that He wants you to understand about this life that He has in store for you. And a lot of those things are never going to be understood if they don't take time to rest. And He understood that what He was about to give them, all these different things, this structure that He was about to lay out for them, that it didn't matter how hard they wanted, how badly they wanted that to happen if they didn't rest. And the truth is, we all know that this is true. And for so many of you, there are things you want to see happen in your life. There are decisions that you want to see happen in your life. There are things that you want to change about who you are, but you keep falling into the same habits and you pray about it and you pray about it and you want to learn something new to take you out of it. But the truth is, you're exhausted. And you're going to continue falling into that, not because you need to pray more, but because you need to rest. You need a consistent day off. And then as I give this to you today, what I want to do as we move forward is I want to define it for you really quickly. And then I want to give you a few of the reasons behind why God leads us into this. And a few, you know, kind of pieces of advice as you begin to put this into practice. And I'll be honest with you guys. As we work through these, I'm in the same boat with you. This is one of the hardest ones for me. And throughout this past year, I've been working at doing this and building this into my life. Some of you email me on Mondays and you wonder why I don't get back to you. I don't do things on Mondays. I'm with my son, and for those of you who are parents, you realize that Sabbath is just not as relaxing as when you weren't a parent. But it's still that day off. And as I read through this and as I studied through this, I began to realize that God, that this was even bigger than what I thought it was. And so what I want to do is I want to define it for you. The first thing is that when you look at the Sabbath and you look at the way that the Bible talks about it, it literally means that you don't do anything on that day that doesn't refresh you. If you have your notes card with you inside your program there, maybe you can jot these down. Dario, this should be inside there where you can pull these up behind me here. To define it, So nothing that does not refresh you, no shopping. Now, for some of you, you're like, whoa, shopping refreshes me. Believe me, I'm right there with you. I'm talking about mandatory shopping. Right? The idea that, okay, my Sabbath is the day when I get my laundry done and I get my grocery shopping done. And no, that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about a day where you rest. And if that means you walk down Washington and you take in the stores, that's fine. But this is where there's no requirements. And then notice the last one on here, no required ministry. One of our goals this next year is that no one who serves on Sunday will be involved in anything on Saturday. And no one who is involved in anything on Saturday will be involved in anything on Sunday. Why? Because I know that if you're involved in both those days, you're not following God with this. And if we structure our church in such a way that it keeps you from following God, then that's a big problem. But this literally means that there's one day of your week where you don't actually have anything that you have to do. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. The next one, why? A couple different reasons, just really quickly. Number one, you are worth more to God than what you can accomplish. As God gives this command to you, what He wants you to understand is that you weren't just created to produce, you were created to produce and enjoy, exactly the way we see Him produce and enjoy in creation. The same thing is true for you. And sometimes when it comes to our worth and our value, we get wrapped up in this idea that we are only worth what we can accomplish or what we can produce. Everything about our careers tells us that this is true, that we are only worth what we can produce, worth what we can produce or what we can accomplish. And God says, no, that's not true. And to prove that to you, I want you to take one whole day where you don't accomplish anything. And I'm going to value you exactly the same as I did before. The next one, you need rest. And we talked about that just a little bit ago. You can't be strong in these other areas of your life. As we walk through this, like I said, we're going to talk about our emotional health. We're going to talk about our physical health. We're going to talk about our spiritual health. You're not going to be successful in these other areas of your life if you're exhausted. And for a lot of you, the truth is you would be able to overcome that temptation if you would just rest. And when you fail, without a doubt, it's almost always when you're exhausted. You need rest. You were created to produce and enjoy. And then number four, you need to be reminded that you're taken care of. You need to be reminded that, you know what, you're not the one who provides for you. He provides for you. And working that extra day, it's actually counterproductive because you're walking away from the one who actually provides. And we need to be reminded of that over and over and over again. So what are the steps? Okay, how do I do this? Just a couple simple things to put into practice. Number one, you have to begin planning your week. I put this in there. Most of you who are working, you do this. And, well, I guess I shouldn't say most of you. About half of you who are working, you do this. I put this in there mainly for college students. You know who you are. You don't plan anything. You need to plan your week. All right? You need to plan when you're going to do things and when you're going to get things done that you need to get done, because if you don't plan them out for other times, they will fall into this day. If you don't plan to grocery shop on another day of the week, you're going to end up having to grocery shop on this day. If you don't plan to get your laundry done another day of the week, you're going to end up doing your laundry this day. You have to have a plan that you put in place. Again, going right along with that, plan your chores. Number three, make your meals. This was a big one for me. I actually put this in there for me because I believe this is the next step for me as I'm continuing to experience this. One of the things that God had the nation of Israel do, which was really cool and took Sabbath to a whole different level, is that as the nation of Israel was following God in the wilderness, God provided food for them every single day. It was called manna, and every morning they would go out and they would collect this food. Right? And they could never collect more than just one day's worth. It would rot overnight. And God set it up that way so that they would depend on Him every single day. It's a picture of how we need to depend on God every single day and take in His Word, which is considered to be our bread, right? And so He sets this up for them so that they experience that. But then there was one day of the week where He wanted them to collect enough for 2 days. And for them, that didn't make any sense because when they first started receiving the food, they collected enough for like 2-3 days because they didn't trust God. And then it rotted. And so then God said, well, the next time I want you to collect enough for 2 days. And they're like, well, what good is that going to do me? It's going to rot. But it didn't. And He said, the day before the Sabbath, I want you to collect enough for both days so that even on the Sabbath day, you don't even have to cook. Right? Now, for some of you, that refreshes you. Like, opening the refrigerator door exhausts me. Right? That's the extent to which it's come in my life. And so one of the things that I've done as I looked at this is, you know, I said, you know what? I could begin making the meals the day before. Exactly the way the nation of Israel experienced this. And then the next one is guard this with your life. I'm telling you, there are going to be a million things that are going to try to pop up in that day. There are going to be things that happen in your week that you're like, you know what, I have to get this done. I have to get this done. And the only time that you have left is that day that you've set aside as your Sabbath. And it goes right along with the last one, which is you're going to have to let some things go. And you know what that's going to take? Faith. It means you're going to have to trust God to do what you can't. It means you're going to have to trust God to take care of things because you're obeying Him. When I first started doing this, the hardest thing was not checking emails. I mean, that killed me because what if something important happened? What if something happened that I had to get back to someone on? And God said, no, this is about faith. And do you trust me to take care of what happens that day? It's all about trust. And for some of us, we're sitting here and you think it's about obedience. You think it's about putting something in place this next week. No, it's more about trust. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him that He's taking care of you when He gives you this Sabbath? Because you'll never obey Him if you don't trust Him. But you can trust Him. And He's proven it to us over and over and over again. Will it be easy? Nope. As a matter of fact, I think as we walk through these resolutions, this is probably going to be one of the most difficult ones for our community because we are driven. It's not going to be easy. Will it change your life? Oh, yeah. It'll change your life. And it won't just change your life physically. It'll change your life emotionally, and it will change your life spiritually. It's really important. And as we look at this dream that God has for you, that you'd be able to walk through 2011, and it really wouldn't matter what the circumstances were, that you would thrive. I am convinced that this is a huge part of it. And when you look at the priority that God puts on it, I don't think you can come to any other conclusion. I'll tell you again what I told you last week. This year can be the best year of your life. Without question, this year can be the best year of your life. And it won't have anything to do with what happens externally. It'll have everything to do with what happens internally. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we look at this step, it's such an incredible message that you're giving us, that we get to take this day off, that you are going to take care of us in this way, that you're going to provide for us in this way, that you value us in this way, and yet it is so hard for us because we're so wrapped up in the idea that we're the ones who take care of us. God, I'm so wrapped up in this idea that I'm the one who makes things happen. It's just pride. And yet I've got to let that go. I know that life is on the other side. I know that you're trustworthy. We know that we can trust you. Father, we want to follow. We want to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen.